Well, as I said, it's good to be together as we celebrate a couple things today. And I just want to say thank you again to everybody that came last week and joined us as we had our church meeting and gathered to talk about maybe some options, some possibilities for the future of the church. And so next week, we'll gather together as kind of a follow-up as we've been praying and discerning through some of those pieces. And so my hope is that as we gather today, we can celebrate some of the good things that already has happened, not only in the life of this church, but in the life of the church as a whole. And so today is a special day. It's for us here at Bridge City, we celebrate 2 years of gathering for worship. Woo! 2 years. It's pretty amazing to think 2 years have gone by, and so we've been in this this space here. We've got we're going to celebrate here with a cake. I know the kids are chomping at the bit, cake and cupcakes, all that kind of stuff. But 4 years for our denomination. So the Global Methodist Church this month is 4 years old, which is a celebration as well. Woo! And so 4 years old, and we have about 7,000 churches worldwide, which is pretty amazing. More churches joining and growing and starting. And so next month, we'll gather as our Florida Conference of Churches, about 160 churches in beautiful Oviedo, Florida, to gather together, to vote on a few things, and just celebrate what God has done. And so this is the day that the church remembers the coming of the Holy Spirit, that Pentecost is this great celebration that kickstarts, is the catalyst for the goodness of God represented in the local church. And so we've been celebrating the great 50 days of Easter, remembering the 40 days Jesus walked among his disciples after the resurrection, teaching and preparing them, all the things that he did as he walked alongside, and then the 10 days that the early disciples waited after his ascension. After Jesus ascended to heaven, they waited 10 days, and Jesus had promised them power. They didn't know exactly what that looked like, but he told them to wait for the Holy Spirit. That that there was this thing that was coming that was going to be their advocate, that was going to give them a power like they had not seen before, that was going to enable them to do amazing things. And we have to remember, it's been a wild couple of months for the venom towards those that have followed Jesus. They've witnessed this this move, this growth, this momentum towards Jerusalem, this collision with religion there that leads to Jesus' death on a cross. They thought all was lost, and then all of a sudden the resurrection happens. Rumors begin to flow that Jesus is alive, and for 40 days Jesus kind of pops up among the people. Some know who he is, some don't, but it's this powerful picture of Jesus reassuring and preparing his people to move forward, and the last thing he tells them is wait. Wait for the Holy Spirit. Wait for this moment that God's power is going to be unleashed into the world. And we see that in the book of Acts, especially Acts chapter 2, that this happens during Pentecost. Now, if you've been here a little while, if you've been here on a Pentecost Sunday, I always love to explain some things about the culture and the community and what the early disciples were experiencing. And so what we know as Pentecost today, before it was Pentecost, it was this one of the major Jewish festivals. So there are three major festivals. This was one of them. It's called the Feast of Weeks, or the Shavuot, and it celebrated the harvest. And so this was a great celebration. You had just gotten a giant harvest. You were celebrating. You were traveling to give thanks to God for this harvest. You had sold some of your crop, and so you usually had more money in this season than other seasons. And so this was a great festival, a great celebration, as people came to give thanks to God. And God's covenant people, the Jewish people, all over the world gathered in Jerusalem for this feast. In fact, this feast still happens in our world today. But Acts 2, this Pentecost that we know, changes everything. What had been once the celebration of the harvest became the birth of the church. And the Holy Spirit descended like fire. If you've read these verses, you know it's a pretty wild experience. There's a rushing wind. There's flames appearing on people's heads. They spoke in different languages, yet everyone could understand what others were saying. And God formed a new kind of people, united not by language or race or background, but by the Spirit of God. And so remember, the bigger picture, that this festival is taking place in Jerusalem. People from all over are coming, speaking different languages, different cultures, different backgrounds, people that would, in every other setting, not be in the same place. This is where the power of the Holy Spirit shows up. That languages are spoken, disappear. Those gathering can understand that the divisions of race and cultural backgrounds all disappear as the Spirit of God moves. And so as we see the early church grow, this is a marker of the early church. People were drawn to the early church, early Christianity, because it was a place they could come and not be divided. That they could be a part of a community that that would not exist any other way, shape, or form. That those with high status and low status could be together as brothers and sisters in Christ. And this was something that no other group did. This is something that no other gathering boasted. And so the early church gathered in the same way. Again, didn't have to do with language or race or background, just the gift of the Holy Spirit moving. And so the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit began forming ordinary people into the church. And so as we read throughout Acts, these powerful stories of people gathering that in any other setting would have no voice, maybe wouldn't have the boldness to stand up, to speak, to share their faith, to invite, and yet they become powerful people in God's church. And it reminds us that Pentecost is that the church is not built by talent alone. I would say, if you were to read with me, and we've talked about this, the early disciples had very few talents. They were kind of the least of the least when it came to the world of religion. They were not the people that were desirable for the religious elite. And yet God called them in, that Jesus walked alongside, and they were able to do amazing things. So the church is not built on talent. It's not built on strategy alone. Or personality, the church is born through the power of God's Spirit moving in and through his people. And that's something that we need to remember over and over again. And I've quoted him a few times. A.W. Tozer says this. It's kind of a downer quote, but just go with me on this one. He says this. He says, if the Holy Spirit was withdrawn from the church today, 95% of what we do would go on and no one would even know the difference. It's kind of a harsh critique from our friend A.W. Tozer. But what he's saying is we've built these systems that are built around people. They're built around maybe strategy, or they're built around personalities, or they're built around talent. And we forget that the offering of the church comes from the Holy Spirit. And so A.W. Tozer is offering this quote as a warning for the churches and the people that have gotten sidetracked. That that in order to be an effective church, we got to work all these programs. We got to work all these strategies. We got to have the right personality types. We got to have the right people, the right talent, the right leadership, and all those things are great and wonderful. But we have to remember that God is the one that drives the church. God is the one that grows the church. That if we try and do it on our own through our own efforts, our own ability, our own talents, we end up with a system that you could remove the Holy Spirit and it would continue going. And so we have made the church into so many other things, but the church is not simply an organization to manage. It's people empowered by the living presence of God. And so our scripture today that we're going to spend some time in is 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, sorry, it's not up here. 1 Corinthians 12, 3 through 13. And if you're reading along, I'm reading out of the NIV. You may have a different translation. But this is Paul writing to the church in Corinth. He's writing to the early church. There's been some trouble brewing in the church that started with kind of the early church starting, and then people started to pick favorites, leaders that they liked. And so instead of aligning with Jesus, that I'm a follower of Jesus, they started saying, well, I'm a follower of this leader who follows Jesus. And so Paul's writing this to the church saying, okay, we've made it about something else, that every church is a part of a following Jesus, that's who we look to, that's who we trust, that's who we pledge our allegiance to. And maybe he's blessed your church with great leaders, but we are not followers of this one or that one. We're followers of Jesus. And so he's writing into that kind of community that's experienced a little bit of turmoil. And it says this, starting in verse 3. It says, therefore, I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for a common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. And to another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit. And he gives them to each one just as he determines. The body is one unit. Though it is made of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given one Spirit to drink. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. God, we thank you for this powerful word from the Apostle Paul. We thank you just for the gift of the Spirit moving in our lives, moving in the world around us, moving in the lives of those we come into contact with every day. And so, God, as we reflect on your word, as we celebrate this this great celebration of the church that we know as Pentecost, we ask that you would give us wisdom, that you would open our hearts, that you would speak to our minds, that our communities would be transformed in powerful ways by the gift of the Spirit. And so, God, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. We pray all this in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And amen. And so, again, Paul is writing to a church that is experiencing some division, writing to a church that is struggling to figure out how to continue to move forward, that they've reached some people and maybe some large personalities have come to leadership, and people are trying to choose who they're going to follow. And so it's created some division. And Paul is saying the Spirit works through everybody in different ways. But it says for one purpose. So the Spirit's not going to work in one church for only that church. It's going to work in every church to make sure every church succeeds, that God's kingdom is pushed forward. The common good and the mission of Christ is the goal of every church. And Dietrich Bonhoeffer, in one of his writings, says this: the church is the church only when it exists for others. That this idea that when we create a system that that only feeds itself, a church that only cares for itself, a church that only lifts up its goodness and talents and abilities, that refuses to push forward in the kingdom agenda, we end up with a big difference in what the church is and what it's called to be. He says the church is the church only when it exists for other people. That that is this mission of Jesus, to go and reach people, to draw them in, to allow the Holy Spirit to give them gifts that then bless the entire body together. And Paul is writing, again, remember, to this church, these churches in Corinth, to remind them that spiritual gifts are not given for personal status or attention. Now, even in the world today, there's a lot of debate over speaking in tongues, and the validity of, who can speak in tongues, and if it's a requirement for leadership. There's some streams of religion where a person could not stand in the position that I stand in as a pastor if they don't have the gift of speaking in tongues, if they don't have the gift of speaking in that way, that the Spirit hasn't blessed them. But Paul is saying that all gifts are equal, that all gifts are lifted up to glorify God as one body. They're all important. And so he's saying over and over again that they're given so that the body of Christ, that all together, that we can love one another well, that we can love the world well, that we can love each other in powerful ways, that that we can serve again, as one body, that we can serve our community, we can serve our neighbor, we can serve those around us. We can even serve people far off. If you read through, especially the New Testament scriptures over and over again, we find people way off in the distance supporting new ministry. People they've never met, they're never going to come into contact with, but feel driven to contribute to it. And so some send people as missionaries, some send resources, some are involved in prayer for these organizations, these groups that begin to gather in distant places to share the good news, that encouraging and serving is important, that the gifts are given so that as one body, we can heal, that we can heal one another. We can heal some of the brokenness in our world. We can heal even physically healing. We see that in the early church, lots of physical healings that God's power moves in amazing ways, and we can reach the world around us. And so, it probably sounds harsh, there are many churches, especially where we are. There's lots of great, wonderful churches, and I choose to work with churches that lift up one kingdom. I choose not to work with churches that lift up their own kingdom, and there's a big difference. Again, he says the church that is only the church when it exists for others. And so we can build systems and strategies and talents and all kinds of things to gather folks to build a small kingdom, our own kingdom, or we can use those to build the bigger kingdom. And so it's one of those things that we have to really be clear about, because we can be pulled off in different directions, that we can be distracted, that we can be derailed. And again, Paul is writing to a community where churches have kind of built their own kingdom. They've built their own walls. This is our territory. We follow this leader, and we don't want anything to do with that leader. We don't want anything to do with that other church because they're not like us. And so Paul is writing into that. He's saying, no, it's one body of Christ, so we can love and serve, encourage, heal, and reach the world. And we have to remember that the world we live in today is not much different than the one that we see in the Church of Corinth, that that we're exhausted, that people are exhausted across creation of trying to do life on their own. You can pick anywhere in Scripture, and you can find this common story in creation, that that people try and do things on their own, that they don't ask for help. They don't lean on this God who offers to give them strength and power, to give them this gift that allows them to live life to the fullest. And we get exhausted. We try and do things on our own. We realize we can't do it. I know for me, I fall in this pattern where I try and do something on my own. I realize I can't do it, but I don't tell anybody, and so I get to the very end. And finally, it all kind of falls apart, right? I can't spin the plates anymore. I can't hold all the things up. And our world, like the world Paul's writing into, is divided. That there's anxiety everywhere. That we're isolated in certain ways. That spiritually, we struggle to connect sometimes. And maybe you're like me. You've wondered if you have anything meaningful to offer the world, right? That is there anything that I have to offer the world that anybody would want? We begin to feel disconnected from God and unsure about our purpose. I hear lots of people ask questions over and over again, especially if they're outside the church and they realize that I work within the church. Their questions tend to go towards this idea of purpose. I'm trying to find my purpose in life. I'm trying to find my purpose in this world. I've been wandering without a purpose, and there's something empty and missing. And the disciples, they knew this feeling really, really well. As they started the early church, they knew this really, really well as they gathered together, as they tried to do something. But before Pentecost, they were waiting in uncertainty. That they were waiting, even as they traveled with Jesus, they didn't quite know exactly what was going to happen. That there was this uncertainty, and they just kept taking one more step further, one more step closer as Jesus traveled in his ministry. Jesus had ascended, and the disciples didn't know what was going to come next. They knew something was coming, but they had no idea what it was. But they stayed together, they prayed, and they waited. And God met them there in this powerful encounter, Pentecost. And that same spirit that shows up, that empowers the early church, is still working in the world today. This is the promise of God, that the Holy Spirit is unleashed in the world, that it is zipping through our neighborhoods and communities, through our relationships, that it is worldwide doing powerful things for those that seek it, that trust in it, that believe in it. They find these powerful gifts of God. And so we need to know, you need to know, I need to know that the Holy Spirit still gives gifts. There are plenty of people that talk about this idea of Pentecost and the gift of the Holy Spirit as past tense, that it happened in the church early on, but in our world today, we don't really need those things. We're more advanced, we're more civilized, we have technology, all those kind of different things. We don't need the gift of healing because we have physicians. We don't need the gift of tongues because I can get on my phone and I can use Google Translate, right? We have all these things that kind of help us in the world, but we have to know the Holy Spirit is still giving gifts. It's still giving purpose. It's still giving power to people today. And Paul reminds us that early in the church, every believer has been given gifts through the Spirit. That every believer, doesn't matter who you are, what your status is in the world, doesn't matter how long you've been at the church, that everyone has been given a gift. And it's not for personal status, which I think was some of the problems in the early church, but it was to serve others, to build up the body of Christ. We see in the early church people get excited about their gifts. So the gift of speaking and teaching, and so they get up in a crowd and start speaking and teaching, and other people get excited, and they begin to use their gifts and sort of confuse everybody. And so you have all these people standing up, using their gifts, speaking, teaching, proclaiming the good news. And Paul says, no, that's a distraction because we're using it for personal status. We're trying to get people to focus on us instead of using the gift to get people to focus on Christ. He says, we're one body. And he says, some encourage. He goes, there are people that have been blessed with this gift of the Holy Spirit to encourage one another. And maybe you've met someone like that, where you've just encountered somebody, and maybe you have a conversation with them. Maybe it's short or long, and you walk away, and you just feel like, man, I feel so encouraged by the encounter I had with that person. Some people lead. Maybe you've been under a great leader that's humble, that's quiet in the way they lead, that invites people in. Maybe you've been a part of someone who has the spiritual gift of serving, that maybe you go to their house and you just feel so welcomed and served and cared for. Maybe they have the ability to just find the right places, the right people where God is calling them to serve. Maybe you've seen a great teacher that's been given the gifts and abilities to teach in powerful ways. Maybe you've seen somebody that has the ability to show mercy just in ways that you can't really understand in your own life, but you witness this person offer mercy in these really difficult situations. Maybe prayer, someone who has the spiritual gift of prayer. I've said it before here. I served at a church in beautiful Boca Raton, Florida, and there was a gentleman that came to my church. He had retired, him and his wife, and he was probably in his 80s at that point. And he started a prayer ministry, and he invited me over to his house and shared books with me, shared some wisdom, offered to pray for me, with me. And my entire time there, I knew that Werner was praying for me personally. He was praying for my ministry. He was praying for my life. He was praying for the things that would happen in the future as I grew older, as I moved through different stages of life. But he had this powerful gift of prayer. And so we have to remember that these pieces exist. And a lot of these happen behind the scenes, that a lot of these things are just people being faithful to the gifts they've been given in their everyday life. And so we sometimes miss them because they're not up front all the time. They're not really visible all the time. But Paul says all of it matters deeply. He says the church works when every person understands they're part of the body, that they're all together, that Pentecost is not just about what happened back then, but it's about what God is still doing now. And if we believe this, because I hope you do, I hope this is not, I'm not trying to convince you of something that you don't want to believe, but if we truly believe this, we stop seeing ourselves as spectators, we start seeing ourselves as part of God's mission. Last week when we gathered, we started our meeting before talking about the future of the church, we read out of 1 Peter. This idea that we're part of a royal priesthood, that God calls us in, that we're gifted with this ability not only to call God Father, to be in relationship, but to be co-laborers in this kingdom work. We each have a role to play. And God will give us what we need as we step fully into that. And Paul is speaking to the church today. He's not just writing to a random group of people, but he's writing to any church that gathers. And he's saying, we are not forgotten in this world that seems to forget us. We are not spiritually useless, even if the world around us could care less about our spirituality. He says, we are not alone. We are one body. He says, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in his people today. And he says, as we believe that, as we live into that, as we do the things that God asks us to do, it changes how we love the world around us. It changes how we serve, how we forgive, how we endure hardship, how we care for our neighbor, how we raise our families, how we build a community, how we treat the people around us. This is the Holy Spirit empowers us, everyday people, to live extraordinary lives of love and holiness and compassion and witness. Again, making disciples that make disciples, that there's something about the way we live that draws people in. And honestly, this is a part of our celebration as a church today, that for 2 years we've worshiped in borrowed space. Amen? We've set up and torn down each week. We've served this community well through a variety of things. We've listened to what the community needs, and we've responded. We've prayed together. We've celebrated and grieved together. We've welcomed new people, and we've trusted God together. This is what the early church did over and over and over again. Not because we're perfect, but because the Spirit of His has been faithful to Bridge City, as it has been faithful to every church that that lifts up His kingdom. And so now we respond. This Pentecost Sunday, we don't just simply admire the story at Acts 2 where the Holy Spirit shows up, but we invite the Holy Spirit to work in our lives in powerful ways. I like to tell people, especially, it used to be more popular, but the idea of spiritual gifts tests, assessments, you kind of take this test and it says, well, you're gifted at this. I think those are good. But I would always tell people that God gives you the gift that you need to do the thing he's asking you to do. And so there may be a season in life where you're gifted to get up and teach and speak, and then that season may be over. There may be a season in life where it gives you the gift of prayer, that just you understand the people around you, that you can get a sense of what you need to be praying for in the world. And then in a different season, you may step into leadership. You may step into these gifts of healing and encouraging. But the gift is always there if we step into what God is calling us to do. So the Holy Spirit invites us. And so today, as we take a step further into this, we ask these questions. We ask God. We ask him, where are you calling me to serve? Where is it I'm getting a stirring, a sense to step in and serve? It's probably more of a disorder than a spiritual gift, but I'm always looking for new things to try in the world around me. I'm always kind of eyes open, like maybe try that. Maybe I'll try this. Maybe I'll connect with this community and see what's happening. But here lately, I've been connecting with a community that I've shared with some of you, St. Gerard's. It is a residential program for girls who end up getting pregnant in high school, for them to stay, to continue, and the goal is for them to get a high school diploma, not a GED, but to actually finish the program. They have all the resources surrounding them. They're in a little, right now, it's probably like a 40s or 50s motel in St. Augustine that they have turned into the most amazing facility, but it is falling apart. And so I've been going regularly down there on Mondays to just do handyman work. I've been painting walls to help hold them together structurally because the building is so old. They're getting ready to build a new facility, and they're kind of in this two-year window. They just need the building to keep going. And so I've been going. I've been doing this work, meeting lots of folks, and through that I've connected with a ministry that does a prison ministry. And it's something I did in other places, and I sort of thought, oh, that's interesting, that's cool. And here lately, I've been sort of drawn towards that I've met more and more people that have been a part of that program. And so I'm stepping in and saying, okay, I'm going to jump through the hoops of getting approved, going through all this stuff to do these Bible studies within a prison. So I'm constantly asking myself, God, where is it you're calling me to serve? What are the places in which, as a leader of a church, that you can call me to be effective and build a pathway to invite others to join me? Build a pathway to invite others to be a part. So we ask the question, God, where are you calling me to serve? Then we ask the question, what gifts have you placed in me? Now again, you may have a very clear idea of what your gifts are, but there may be something you're not even aware of. A gift that the Holy Spirit wants to just bless you with, that the gift of the Holy Spirit that will change the way you do life with the people around you. And so ask God, God, what is it you've placed in me? What is the gift that you've given me, this ability that I can use through your power to glorify you? And then who are you calling me to love? Who in my community, who in the world around me, maybe it's in my neighborhood, maybe it's in a different state, maybe it's in a different country, but who are you calling me to love? How can I step in and serve and use my gifts to love the world around me? How can I help build up the body of Christ as one community? And the church was never meant to be a gathering of consumers that we come and we're fed and we do nothing with it, but it's a Spirit-filled people sent into the world with the love of Jesus. And it begins with more than just attending. As we talked about, we're co-laborers. Even more than knowing the right words to say, there are many times in many situations when I encounter people, I don't always have the right words to say. But I can be present, I can be fully there, and I can share the goodness of God that I have to offer. But it begins with this real surrender to Jesus, this transforming work. This is what Paul is speaking to this church. He's saying, don't follow the lead. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. If your leader isn't following Jesus, then that's the wrong leader for you. That's the wrong church for you. It's the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And I don't know if you follow R.C. Sproul. He passed away a couple years ago, but a speaker, author, but he says this. He says, one of the greatest needs we have in the church today is the confusion between profession of faith and possession of faith. That there is this huge confusion about the profession of faith versus the possession of faith. And he says, you know, Jesus calls us to profess our faith. There are things that we say out loud, the things that we speak, the things that we proclaim as followers of Jesus. But he says, Jesus also offers warnings time and time again throughout the scriptures that there are those that can honor him with their lips, but their hearts can still be far from him. He says, there should be no confusion that we are called to be people that profess faith, but also possess it. That we live our lives differently because of what we say about the person of Jesus and his role in our life. That we possess gifts and abilities and talents, that we possess something that the rest of the world does not if they don't experience Jesus. And that possession is actually Jesus moving through our lives. That there's confusion between profession and possession. And God calls us to not only say, we believe, but to live our lives as if we believe. And Pentecost reminds us that Christianity is not simply this outward religion. It's about being filled and transformed by the Holy Spirit. The early disciples didn't just talk about Jesus after Acts. It changed their lives. That they weren't just going on the speaking tour saying, you're not going to believe what happened. Man, it was the craziest thing. You should have been there. They go about their lives living differently because they've encountered this powerful movement of God. The prophet Joel declared, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. These are the words that Peter repeats in Acts 2, that this great prophecy of what God will do for all people, that his spirit will be moving among the people, not just in the temple, not just among the religious elite, not just among the people that jump through all the hoops and do the right things, but among all people. And that promise is still true today. And so today we celebrate 2 years of Bridge City Church. It's a great milestone. I'm excited to celebrate with you. I'm excited for more celebrations to come. I meet with a lot of church planters. I'm friends with a lot of church planters. And one of the greatest things that we tell each other is make sure you celebrate the good things that God is doing. And so 2 years of gathering is a huge deal. And so this day, this Pentecost Sunday, let's ask God for a fresh fire, a fresh vision, a fresh set of unity among God's people, this boldness for the future. John Wesley, the founder of our faith, says this. He says, catch on fire with enthusiasm, and people will come from miles to watch you burn. Amen? He says, catch on fire with enthusiasm, and people will come from miles to watch you burn. The early Methodist movement was not a popular movement. There were many people that looked down upon it because it was a movement of the people, that the church left the building, it left the spaces, that it went into places where people gathered in the marketplace, that preachers would gather, 4 a.m. on the side of roads as the coal miners would come to work early, and they would preach to them because they wouldn't come into church, that they would preach in open fields, that they would go find people that were so far from God, and they would share the good news, and they would invite them to be a part of something different. And this is what John Wesley speaks into, that if we are filled with the Holy Spirit, if we catch fire in a way that stands out, people will come from miles away to watch you burn. And it's a powerful statement of the church. It's a powerful statement of what it means for us to be called to do the work of God, to catch fire in such a way that people are drawn, that they'll come from miles away to say, what is different about this group? What is different about this church? What's different about these people? What's different in their life? And so this is my prayer for to become become famous. I don't intend to set myself on fire. Not that we become impressive. I've been impressive in some places, and I've been a disappointment in lots of other places. But that we become so filled with the Spirit, so full of the love of Jesus that this community can't help but see the light of Christ coming through us. That is the point, that no obstacle in this world can stop us. And so this Pentecost Sunday, I say to you, come, Holy Spirit. That we invite God to do what only God can do. And we trust that he will give us the gifts and abilities, that he'll give us the talents, he'll give us the strength, he'll give us the peace to live a life worthy of his calling. And so come, Holy Spirit, let's pray.